This is the Wu Wei Wisdom Podcast. Our weekly no-nonsense life lessons aim to inspire you to master your emotional and spiritual health, achieve balance, harmony, and flow, and rediscover the authentic and awesome you. We're your hosts, David James Lees and Alexandra Lees. Now, are you living a lie? Well, in this week's teaching, we're going to be exposing the three powerful and destructive lies that are buried within most people's subconscious mind and which are controlling their lives. Okay, David, so what are these lies?
So in our model, there's three lies. Number one, you're not good enough. Number two, you can't cope. Number three, you're unlovable, stroke unworthy. And if you've ever said those to yourself in your self-talk or maybe to someone else about yourself, these are the three lies we're talking about. And this is so very important in the Wu Wei Wisdom model because these lies signify the birth of the inner child.
Okay, so where do these lies begin? What's the origin of these lies?
Well, they begin in your childhood, and the ages of between 6 and 9 years old seems very important to me when I work with clients. And I think this is the time in your life when something is happening. It could be some dysfunction in your family circle, could be being bullied at school. But this is the time when what's happening externally around you, you don't have the cognitive reasoning to understand. So you have to say something to kind of try and bring some understanding into it. And that's when you say the three lies. I'm not good enough. I can't cope. I'm unlovable.
And they all sound like they very much come from a place of self-blame.
Yes. They come, the starting point, the first domino that I call the vow is there's something wrong or there's something missing in me. So something is happening. Perhaps you're being highly criticized at home and you can't think, you haven't got the intelligence to think, well, maybe my mother and dad, they are suffering. They haven't got the parenting skills. They don't know how to do this. And so right away, you then change that and you blame yourself. There's something missing in me. There's something wrong with me. Because if I was a good girl or a good boy, of course they'd love me. Of course they'd care for me. Of course they'd give me time and they'd give me effort. And they're not doing that. So there's something wrong with me. And then the three lies kind of make sense to that. It must be because I'm not good enough. It must be that I can't cope with this. It must be that I'm unlovable or I'm unworthy.
And I can imagine, I mean, so many times in all of our childhoods have we quite naturally experienced confusion, uncertainty, uncomfortable red light feelings of, I don't know, which we may now label as rejection, hurt, pain, upset. And all of those experiences in our early years, that is what makes us doubt ourselves, doubt our abilities, doubt our lovability, doubt our ability to cope with all these things happening around us.
Yes, because we're looking at it through a childlike lens that hasn't fully developed. And so we haven't got the reasoning power to reason. We see our parents, and of course we need our parents. Absolutely need our parents to feed us, clothe us, put a roof over our head. They're the authority figures. Aren't they biologically programmed to care and to love us? So children believe this. And so if they can't blame their parents or their teachers or whoever, the only person in a child's mind, because it sees everything in black and white, good and bad, right and wrong, if they can't blame the authority figures, the only person left to blame is themselves. And so that's when they say, it must be me. There's something wrong with me. If I was good enough, they would love me, wouldn't they? if I was able to cope, if I didn't keep on making mistakes, if I didn't keep making mistakes and being criticized, then they would love me. And they don't love me, so therefore I must be unlovable. It must be me. And as I said at the beginning, this is so important because this is the birth of what I call the inner child. And this belief is so powerful because it almost sets a seed right in your subconscious mind. And then from then on, that I almost think of it like a fork in the road. You have a fork and you're going down the wrong fork now. You're going down that wrong fork, following these three lies. Keep on confirming them to yourself and saying them to yourself, and then eventually you start believing them.
So what you're saying is we draw these childlike conclusions about our own worth, our own value, through doubting ourselves because of what's happens to all of us in our childhood years to a greater or lesser extent. They then, I guess, form beliefs within our psyche. And as we grow older into teens and adulthood, those beliefs create the essence of what's referred to as our inner child, the driving beliefs of our inner child or our ego mind. And I guess it's easier for us to logically and authentically identify them as lies in adulthood because when we say to ourselves, when we allow our inner child self-talk, our inner narrative to speak to us and say to ourselves, I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough, I can't cope, I can't manage that narrative, they are lies because they are quite simply not the truth. We are denying our value and our capabilities as to who we really are.
And that's right, Alison. It becomes more important because those lies over time become so ingrained, they become our identity and they become the seed. And so we say this so often to ourselves that when I question it with my client, when I say, you're not good enough, what does that actually mean when they say to me, well, I'm not good enough? What does that actually mean? Can you explain that to me? Not good enough for what? Not good enough for whom? Not good enough, who's making that decision? They look perplexed and they go, well, I'm just not good enough. For what? And they've never really looked at that statement. And if you say this to yourself, write it down. I am not good enough. What does that actually mean? But what it actually means is for the inner child, what they're saying, I'm not good enough for my parents. I'm not good enough for my teacher. So you're giving someone else the authority and you're judging yourself against that perceived authority. And then that over time, over many years, becomes very familiar to you. And then that story then becomes your identity. And you actually see yourself through those lenses. It's like putting on a pair of glasses and looking at the world through those lenses of I'm not good enough. I can't cope. I never understand that when a client says to me, I can't cope. I say, well, you've always coped. You're a coping machine. Everything, you have to cope. You've always coped. Can you cope better? Well, of course you can, but you've always coped.
But the trick that our mind, our inner child plays on us with that, David, though, is when we, on the odd occasion where we get challenged, you know, so in the way that you challenge your clients and say, prove to me that you're not good enough, prove to me that you're not lovable, our inner child has already spent years, decades even, gathering evidence, the confirmation bias to prove the lie that it created in childhood. So it will give you all the reasons, you know, list out all the reasons that you're not lovable, failed relationships, parents favoring your siblings over you. It will give you all the reasons that you can't cope, the way you messed up your last job, the way that you folded under the pressure of a family crisis. But the inner child ignores all the times you've succeeded, ignores all the times when you've proven your worth.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly how the clients, they kind of go, right, I'm going to prove to you I'm not good enough. And they list all of these incidences in their life. And I'm saying that doesn't prove you're not good enough. That proves that if you believe you're not good enough, these are the consequences. That's the outcome. If you start from the premise, I'm not good enough, these are the outcome. If you believe you're not good enough, for instance, you can't be successful because you'll be proving yourself wrong. You have to be unsuccessful to prove that to be right. If you believe you're not good enough, prove to me that that's true. When did you become not good enough? When was the time? Was you born not good enough? When you came out of your mother's womb, did the midwife say, this one's not good enough? If your parents say, looked at you right in the face and says, you're not good enough, does that make it true? Should you then take that as a definition of your life, of your worth, of your value? Just because even as somebody is important to you at that time, your parent has said it. And if that's true, if you say, and a lot of my clients, well, my parents actually said that to me. They actually said that to me. And I said, do you believe everything your parents said to you? And they laughed and they, of course I don't. Of course I don't believe everything what my parents said to me. Then why do you believe that? Why have you chosen to believe that? Why have you disregarded all of the other things when they told you what time to go to bed, what to eat, what to do, what to do, what to wear? You've disregarded that and gone against them. Yet this one thing, you are going to base your life on that one statement. And this is why this is so life-changing, Alex. It's so important.
And so, David, as well as the confirmation bias in terms of gathering evidence for the three lies, isn't it true that we also play to those three lies? If we buy into them so much that it becomes our identity, we choose to enter into situations where our unlovability will be proved, our not good enoughness will be proved, where our ability to fold and crumble and for us to play small and avoid things will be proved because we can't cope. So I guess the consequence of believing the three lies is that we play small, we devalue ourselves, we don't live authentically, we don't reach our potential.
Those are the outcomes, those are the consequences, exactly as you said. And then a lot of clients then use those consequences as a proof that they're not good enough. And it doesn't prove you're not good enough. It just means that that's the consequence of believing a lie. So you've got to look at these. And the question is, if you believe any of those three, ask yourself this question. When did I become not good enough? And why did I become not good enough? What was the point when I was good enough, spiritual, and when I became not good enough? If somebody said that to me, does that make it so? And that's really what you've got to question. Because the way to change this is to do the inner child reparenting. You've got to go back to that part of your mind by doing the golden thread. And it might be a good idea to mention the golden thread for new listeners. So the golden thread is a very powerful technique that you start at the emotional feeling, because believing you're not good enough will always create an emotional feeling. So you may call this emotional feeling something like unworthy, unjustified. You may even call the feeling I'm not good enough. That's interesting. So a lot of my clients will say, I've got this feeling that I'm not good enough. That's not a name for a feeling. That's a name for a belief. And so they get so confused. A feeling is a physiological experience in your body that you are creating. So when you believe you're not good enough, you will create a red light feeling and then you will give it a name. Anxiety, depression, fear, scared, you'll give it a name. Some of my clients will give the feeling the name, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And so I say, is that a feeling or is that a belief? And they go, well, it's a belief. Okay, when did you have that belief? And that's the golden thread. Why? Why did you develop that belief? Where did that belief come from? And that will immediately, nearly always, take you back to your childhood.
And just to say, David, that description of the feeling, that could also be, I feel like I'm hopeless, that I'm not going to be able to cope. I feel that I'm unlovable. I feel unloved, unlovable. It's the same. You're describing a feeling, but actually the issue is the belief. And so you said there, when you start to question, when is the first time? So this is the undoing. This is a reversal. Yeah. This is how we overcome the three lies. And you said, what you need to ask yourself, when was the first time that you believed that? When was the first time that you told yourself that? In order to do this work, do we have to be able to pinpoint in time that exact childhood experience? Or could it just be more of a general belief of the childhood circumstances we were brought up in?
It's different for all clients, Alex. Sometimes they can pin it back to an actual time, a date, a period, but you don't have to. You can just be a general thing, as you said in your opening. Well, my parents always favoured my brother, my sister. Therefore, that must mean that they're better than me and I'm not good enough. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means your parents lack some parenting skills. Have you ever thought of that? Your parents were making mistakes. Perhaps your parents did like your brother better than you. Does that mean that you're not good enough? And so these are really important questions that opens up your mind, because when you're seeing life through this very, like a pinhole of I'm not good enough, I can't cope, I'm unlovable, you're not seeing the full picture. And that really is what the golden thread does. It's like reverse engineering. It's starting at the emotion, getting clearing up. Are you saying a feeling? Are you creating a feeling, or are you saying a belief? And going back to where the beliefs first started to develop, normally in childhood, normally the inner child work. And then starting to widen that pinhole and widening your perception. Because here's the truth of the situation. We cannot change the past. We haven't got a time machine to go back and make your parents wonderful parents that have got great parenting skills and treat you equally and are always there for you, loving and caring and doing all the things that you believe parents should do. That's not going to happen. But we can change your perception, because if you have come through that type of childhood, rather than not being good enough or a victim, do you know what? You are amazing. You are awesome. You are victorious. How did you manage it? How did you get through that tricky, bumpy childhood and bring yourself to here? You should look in the mirror and see and the truth that you are a spiritual person, and you, I feel like swearing, you are awesome. Because when you say those three lies, what you're saying is even more important, because you're doubting yourself. You're separating yourself from your spiritual nature. You're planting seeds of doubt quite happily that grow into weeds of all of these lies and these misunderstandings, these lack of beliefs, where you get caught on the carousel of despair going round and round. And as Alex says, proving the negative. You're very good at proving the negative. That's where you have to stop it. You have to stop it now. Because it will never change unless you stop it. This is the time to connect back to the truth. You're not perfect. No one is. But connect back to the truth of your spirituality. Live by your honesty. Live by your integrity. What other people think about you is none of your business. What is important is what you believe and think about yourself.
And David, I think, you know, even just as like powerful takeaways from this teaching, if you can begin to recognize how now as an adult, one or all of those three lies may be operating within your conscious or subconscious mind and how they are affecting different strands of your life. And if you simply take the time to ask yourself that question, you know, when was the first time I told myself one of these three lies? What was the childhood environment I was brought up in terms of, was it conducive to me doubting myself, or was it conducive to me valuing myself? What happened in my childhood with regard to the environment I was brought up in, how my teachers treated me, how my peers treated me, that may have caused me to doubt myself and to blame myself and to turn doubt within myself. And just as those two powerful takeaways from this teaching, for a lot of people, that can be completely transformative. That new awareness and understanding that these lies exist and the origin of them.
You're absolutely right. What you just said is so powerful, Alex, because there's two things going on here. You have to deconstruct those lies because, as you said in your opening, if you do not deconstruct those lies, what you do, you go and focus on all of the things that prove that to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You disregard all of the other things, the amazing things. And a lot of my clients said, well, nothing's ever amazing in my life. I said, look at you. You're a human being. You're living in this universe. What more do you want? What is it that you're looking for? Well, I want to believe I'm good enough. What's stopping you? For goodness sake, what's stopping you? It's just a belief. It is not etched in stone. It is not immovable. They're your beliefs. Own them. Take responsibility. This is the second bit. Take responsibility for your beliefs and make sure they're based in truth, honesty, and integrity. We seem to be focusing on, I'm not good enough. I can tell you that is not true. That is not honest. And that has zero integrity. Zero. Because it's just an opinion. Now, is it your opinion of yourself? Well, that doesn't make sense. You're telling me you're not good enough, yet you're good enough to stand in judgmental about yourself. What part of you are you judging? You see what I often say? Is it your ears that are not good enough? Your nose? Your big toe? What part of you is judging the other part of you? This is a nonsense you've got yourself into. And this is where I know a lot of you don't like it when I say this. You've got to stop it. You've got to stop it. This is, you've got yourself into a maze. Step back. Take a breath. We've done a wonderful video on believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You know why? You're the only one you've got. This is your life. You've been blessed with this life. Why don't you focus on now reaching your potential? Why don't you focus on being the best that you can be? Why don't you focus on walking on fresh snow? Why don't you focus on you and start to live your life with your spirituality intact, living truthfully, honestly, and with integrity?
Thank you, David. And I will put a link in the show notes to our other teachings that David mentioned on believing in yourself and self-worth. And we've also done a couple of beautiful guided meditations on those topics that I will also put a link to for you to enjoy. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Wu Wei Wisdom Life Lesson. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate and review us to help us grow. If you'd like to work one-to-one with David, he supports clients all over the world every week via video call. You can learn more about David's consultations, plus our online events, offers, and gifts on our website, wuweiwisdom.com. You can also meet and share with us in our private Facebook group, on our YouTube channel,
and on Instagram. Search for Wu Wei Wisdom and you'll find us. Until next time, stay happy, healthy, and in your flow.